Welcome back to the podcast, Mastering Social Media for Schools. This is Andrea, your podcast host from Wisconsin. Can't believe we are in the back to school season, and it certainly is not normal, but there are a lot of things going on. And I'm so glad that you are committed to professional development and listening and learning from others. And oh boy, we got a treat for you today. Jimmy Casas is on the podcast. We talk a lot about community and connectedness and using social media, you know, really as that personal learning network, right? And staying connected. Really lean into a lot of leadership. So anybody in educational leadership needs to listen to this episode. Let's not waste any more time and let's get started with today's conversation with Jimmy. I'm Andrea Gribble, a Wisconsin mom who got laid off from her corporate career and jumped into entrepreneurship, not knowing exactly where that road might lead. I'm a natural-born cheerleader who discovered a way to cheer on schools through the power of social media. Turns out, social media isn't easy. I had to figure out what I was doing, and now I'm here to teach you everything I've learned. The Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast gives you simple, actionable strategies to celebrate your students and connect your communities through the power of social media. Join me as I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school social media shine. Hey, before we get started, we need to talk about our K-12 PR tip. We start every podcast episode with a little tip. And today we're talking about a tool to help you in Twitter. It's called TweetDeck. It's completely free, tweetdeck.com. It allows you to schedule tweets. It allows you to see, you know, multiple streams and watch multiple hashtags all in one view on your screen. I recommend looking at it on your desktop, but it works on your phone as well. Very helpful tool to follow and help promote the great things that are happening in your school. And so check it out today. It's a great, awesome tool. And now it's time for this week's interview with Jimmy Casas. Welcome to the podcast, Jimmy. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. So excited and appreciate the opportunity. So thank you very much.
Yes, and I know you're tight. Your schedule is tight, and so I'm really thankful for your time. Share your background, who you are, and kind of your background with our listeners today.
Yeah, so I served in education for 26 years. I started my career in Milwaukee Public Schools. I was a teacher for 4 years, teaching in inner city, bilingual ed. And then took my first principalship at the age of 26, served in that role for 22 years in 3 different districts, retired about 3 years ago because I was inspired during my 16th year as a principal by a leadership coach, and I knew someday that that's what I wanted to do, just recognizing the struggles and the complexities and the challenges and the skill sets that are required by school administration and campus administrators to be able to lead schools effectively. I just felt that we needed more. We needed more support. We needed more help. We needed more guidance. We needed more coaching. And I knew that was a passion of mine. And I felt like I could use my personal experiences to help others. And I've really enjoyed doing that over the last 3 years now.
Do you ever kind of pinch yourself and be like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I was really thinking that, you know, a national pandemic would be coming up and I'll be coaching people through that?
Well, of course not. But I will say this, that, you know, I often talk about school leadership, and the reality of it is, because there's so many unknowns, because the variable is always shifting and always changing, the fact that we are going to have to lead our organizations through different types of crises, right? They may not be pandemics, obviously, but there is always going to be something that happens, because when you're surrounded in a community by so many people, you know, you're going to have unfortunate situations, tragic events, et cetera. And so part of leadership is how to navigate those times, right? And I do believe that effective leaders are able to manage those very difficult times with grace. I think they're effective communicators. I think they're very empathetic. And I think they're able to connect with people at a time when people need leadership. And so I often talk about that, you know, leadership isn't about how you behave or how you respond when you know what to do. It's how you behave and respond when you don't know what to do. And certainly right now, leaders across this country are facing that challenge on a daily basis.
Do you feel in some ways that this pandemic that everybody's being forced to deal with is really and going to end up having a positive impact on all of our leaders out there? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I do think that any type of situation, there's always going to be positives that come from that. But there will also be some negatives, to be honest with you. I mean, there are negative issues coming from it, too. First of all, the impact on what that's happening to children, right? The impact that we know this is not good for children. Children need to be in school. We also know it's not good for our educators. I mean, morale is low. People are exhausted. They've been working harder than they've ever worked. They can't win. They're criticized and often overly criticized and unfairly criticized because the perception sometimes is people think that they don't want to go back to work. Well, that's just not true. They want to go back to work, but they want to be safe. And we should be able to ensure that. But it's kind of hard to do that during a pandemic, right? And so when you don't have the proper things in place where people can feel safe, then it does create some challenges. But then there's also the benefits of it that come from it, right? And those benefits are, I think that, people during these times, I mean, some people have the ability to compartmentalize, right? That they see things that are challenging, they just have this natural ability to compartmentalize. But to recognize that, listen, I still have to work through this, right? I still got kids I have to serve. I have, a job that I have to do. And so, again, I think we see that. And so I think the more that educators are able to connect with one another, first of all, lean on one another, knowing that these are difficult times. But the reality is this, I often share with people, nobody is going to come into our schools and do this for us. If we can't figure this out, and I think we can, I do think that we as educators, teachers, support staff, God bless our secretaries. I mean, we know that people have skills, they have talents, they have strengths. And when you can bring a group of people together and collectively take that passion and those skill sets and recognize that, you know what, I think together we can figure this out. People can do, pretty amazing things when they come together. And I love watching communities of people come together and do incredible things. And I see that happening everywhere right now. And I think people just have to maintain hope and faith that eventually things will work out the way they're supposed to work out. And there will be some difficult challenges. But at the end of the day, most of it, I think, is in our head. And we just got to maintain positivity. Know that our experiences have taught us that things typically work out the way they're supposed to. And as long as we can lean on each other, not feel isolated, not feel like we have to figure this out all by ourselves, right, then I think we'll be okay. So that connectivity and watching staffs really lean on each other and really build a stronger community through this difficult situation, I think is certainly a benefit. And I think people are being more intentional about connecting with others, not just with their colleagues, but with their students and finding other ways to connect with their students. Because they know those connections are very, very important right now. And so it's been nice to watch, right? Really, to watch people really, persevere and navigate these difficult times and still feeling really good and feeling like they can make a difference and feeling good about their work. And so that's good too. So.
Yeah. So there's an interconnectivity between staffs, and then there's this whole interconnectivity with the educators as a whole. And that's, this podcast is all about mastering social media for schools. So from my lens, where I'm doing social media, for schools and helping all across the country, never have I ever been more impressed with the way schools are sharing what they're doing with each other. Have you been, have you seen that, noticed that as well?
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's a connectivity component to this, right? I mean, I can't speak for others, but, certainly, I mean, I know there were people that were using Twitter right from its onset. I think people weren't sure how to use it. I mean, I think there's a lot of newness. There were certainly some pioneers in that field. I know I didn't even connect on social media, really. I was never a Facebook person, to be honest with you. But I did connect. I did connect with Twitter in 2011, and at that point, really began to understand how we could use social media to be able to utilize that to build a stronger community, right? To communicate more effectively, to reach more people, to share all the great things that were happening in schools. I mean, the reality is sometimes there can be some negativity around what schools are doing, but yet the story is being told by people who have not been in our schools, right? And so, you know, it's often said that if we're not going to share our own story, someone else is going to share it for us. And I'd rather have it be somebody who lives in those, you know, between those walls every day and knows what's going on. So definitely the intentionality of creating this sense of community. I had the good fortune of writing my first book with Todd Whitaker and Jeff Zoll called What Connected Educators Do Differently, trying to help people understand the importance of building this community. That, you know, being a connected educator doesn't mean you go to a workshop and like, voila, I'm connected now, right? It's really a shift in your mindset and your attitude and, more importantly, our behavior. And I tell people all the time, you know, education is already a pretty isolated profession. But in 2020, or whether it was 2015 or whenever, the fact that these applications were available, these tools were available to help us connect. If you're isolated today, you pretty much want to be isolated. There's no reason why you can't connect with people, either personally or professionally or both. And so I always say that, if, you know, it isn't about making an impact. We're trying to make the greatest impact that we possibly can. So why would we not take advantage of the tools that are available for us in order to make that happen? So this whole notion of creating a personal and professional learning network, you know, certainly is able to help schools in terms of just navigating, again, some very difficult times, but also just reminding people how awesome our profession is. And so, yeah, so, you know, certainly today we see this happening everywhere where educators are sharing those stories. Teachers are doing the same thing, whether it's classrooms or whether it's buildings or just the communication in general. But I do think you have to be intentional, right? You have to be somewhat strategic sometimes too. How are you going to build that community? It isn't just about, you know, going on Twitter and throwing some things on there, but it's really being intentional about how to use the social media tools and almost somewhat strategic, you know, not manipulative, not disingenuous, but I do think you have to think through, well, how can we utilize these tools to really reach a greater audience? How do we get people to understand the effectiveness and the value in these tools? And how do we get other people to use the tools? It can't just be the teachers, right? How do we get parents? How do we get students? And what are we using that information for, right? In other words, what's the impact overall in terms of school culture, student achievement, you know, all these types of things? Because, you know, we're not just talking about connecting with people, but we're also even talking about instructionally, right? Because the reality is the audience today for a student is no longer a classroom. The audience is the world. And the kids know this. I mean, look at what's happening right now with TikTok, obviously, whether it was Twitter, whether it's Instagram, whether it's YouTube. Kids understand that their audience is here now. And so we better recognize that and understand that, because if not, kids are going to go find that somewhere. And so we need to model that within our schools as well.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who says, I am way too busy to even think about taking on one more thing in regards to, you know, taking maybe advantage of what's out there on Twitter? What would you say?
I think social media is no different than anything else, right? There's a why behind it. Why would I want to invest in this? What is it going to do for me, right? And I do think, again, as I said earlier, it is a shift in mindset, because it isn't about the issue of I don't have time. The reality is we all have the same amount of time. It's where we want to, you know, prioritize our time. It's how we trade time, what we find value in, what benefits us. I mean, there's all these other variables other than I just don't have time, right? I think that's just a way of person saying, I don't want to invest time in that, right? I don't see the value in it. So it's our job. I tell people, the more that we tell people to join or get connected, or we tell them why it's important, is one thing. I think we need to show people. And there's a huge difference between showing them how this can benefit them, showing them the value of it. And so that's what I mean about being a little bit more strategic, right? And so honestly, I tell people all the time, social media will, you can invest as much time as you want in, right? You can invest 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day. And that's what I love about it. It's not going anywhere. It's the idea to understand that the social media, if you want to use it as a resource, for example, okay, that means I have access to it anytime. It's no different than Google. It's no different than going to the internet. You just go to a different platform, a different audience to find that information, but then you can also engage, right? And so if you think about it in terms of a resource for yourself, you can also think about it, well, it's also an opportunity for me to use a tool to find resources to help others. As a building leader, I wanted to use that tool to be able to help my teachers, to be able to help my staff, to be able to help my parents, whether it was with resources or instructional strategies or just connecting with other people that were living their world every day. And so, again, it was more about showing them how to use the tool. And so if I can give you a quick example, so maybe this clarifies it. So this is going to help. Here's a practical way I tell principals all the time. If I'm going to have a meeting with parents, students, faculty, or whatever, when they enter a room, I already on a screen, right, projected up, I have some sort of social media tool already happening, right? In my case, it was typically TweetDeck because I wanted people to see how that worked because people would look at it and say, what is that, right? So I was able to say, hey, would you do me a favor? For those of you right now, how many people here are connected on Twitter, for example? And you'd get a handful of people. And say, for those of you who understand how to use the tool, would you do me a favor for the rest of the people in the audience who may not understand what this is? Can you do me a favor and share a tweet right now? Tell me something really great about our school that you love. But would you tag the hashtag, whatever, the name of the school, right? Then they do that. And because I use TweetDeck, people can see in real time as the tweets are popping up. And then I can say, you see this? This is how we tell the story of our school. So if you're looking at ways to get more information, what's happening here, here's an effective tool. And by the way, for those of you who don't still are hesitant or don't understand, tonight when we're done with the session, we do have staff and students that are available. If you're not able to stick around here tonight for an extra 30 minutes, we can get you signed up and you can come back and we'll help you connect. We'll help you set up an account. We'll tell you the value of it, how to use it. We'll give you some tutorials and we'll actually run some workshops for you. And by the way, parents, it's probably a good idea that you understand how to use this tool because your kids are probably using it right now, right? So that's what I mean about being strategic, not just telling, hey, get on Twitter. No, I think we need to show them the value of Twitter. And it's much, much more effective. And so I think the more we mandate that, that's not an effective way of creating a culture where people are invested in something. And so there is certainly tremendous value in that. But the last thing I'll say is because it's available and accessible 24/7, I can jump in any time and feel like I'm always caught up, right? If you think of it like a stream that's always flowing, well, guess what? Anytime I want to open it up, there's the stream. It's not like I have to go backwards and go, oh, what happened all day today? It doesn't work that way. It's just accessible when I want it, and I can engage as much as I want to or not. I mean, I love social media, but people think I'm on it all the time. But honestly, I'm not really on it that much. But when I need it or I want to, I can go engage and find the people. They're there, right? And so that's how I see it. But it really saves you a lot of time if you know where to go, how to use hashtags, how to find certain chats, how to connect, right? There's these communities. You know, I tell people, think of the hashtag like a community. And these communities are ever present. And it's showing them how they can use that resource.
Yeah. TweetDeck is free, right?
Yeah, TweetDeck is free too. TweetDeck.com as opposed to Twitter.com, right? They're connected, the interface, but it's because you don't have to refresh it constantly like you do. And it allows you to see multiple hashtags, which I call communities, at the same time. And then you can monitor. You don't have to keep typing in every time you go back. It just saves it for you there. But you can see multiple threads, I guess, of different communities that are going on at the same time.
Yeah, I was just doing.
You can schedule tweets, and there's other things you can do that's a benefit as well, especially for chats. It's a very popular tool and a very effective tool for those that do a lot of online chats.
Yeah, and for school communicators, I mean, like some people, if you've got two screens, and some of you even got three screens.
Yeah.
I would shudder if you had four screens. Maybe you got but to have that up going and then being able to see maybe your different school hashtags and to be able to retweet things
Correct.
Out, making it easy.
Yeah, but this is nice because it's one screen, but it's several columns, right? So that's kind of nice too. And obviously, we're not just talking about Twitter. I mean, it's Instagram, it's LinkedIn, it's Facebook. I mean, in my opinion, the more ways we can reach out to our communities, the better. We can't assume everyone's on Facebook, that everyone's on Instagram, that everyone's on Twitter, that everyone's on LinkedIn. But our job is to create this net, right, that throws it out there. And I still believe that, you know, I always say to people, face-to-face is still the most powerful connection, right? It really is. However, these tools allow us to maybe begin that interaction to allow us eventually to get to the face-to-face, which is powerful, and it also works vice versa. You know, I can't remember who it was. I want to say Simon Sinek, but I know it's not him. Maybe it's Seth Godin, but one of them talks about the importance of how we have to connect the dots, right? Well, I think that's obviously, yes, critical. We have to connect the dots to build this community. But the reality is we have to collect them first. You can't connect what you don't have. So to me, these allow us to collect all these dots, these, you know, obviously are, you know, the parents, the kids, the community, whatever. That's collecting them, but then use the tools to connect them. It's kind of hard to connect what you don't have. So you got to collect the dots before you can connect them, right?
Yeah. And as that building that PLN, and you talked about the communities, now that school has started, and I know lunch looks a lot different this year than it has in other years, but I like to think of it as the lunch tables in the lunchroom where all the kids, you know, maybe you had the jocks and you had the different groups. Well, social media, especially Twitter, allows you to like sit at the right lunch table all the time to get connected with those people. And they have resources to make your job easier. Right?
Yeah, and it also flattens the hierarchy, right? Because if you think about it on social media, the idea is to equalize the voice. So, I mean, you can get on a chat or you can get on social media. It doesn't matter if you're a 12-year-old, right, who's using this tool, or a young college student, or an adult, or a veteran teacher, or a professional, or a person who isn't formally educated. It doesn't matter. Everybody has a voice. It flattens the hierarchy. Because the reality of it is, it's a great reminder that everybody has something to contribute, right? Your voice will resonate with somebody. It doesn't have to resonate with everybody, but it's going to resonate with somebody. I mean, we all bring something to the table. And so what I love about social media is I do think it flattens the hierarchy a bit.
Definitely. And you just moved just enough because we can see each other. Of course, everybody else is just listening, but you have your hashtag Go Crickets shirt on.
Oh, that's for my friend Joe Sanfilippo. He's a superintendent in Fall Creek, Wisconsin. So I always give a shout out to my good friend Joe Sanfilippo. Their mascot is the cricket, the Mighty Crickets. Actually, they're not the Mighty Crickets, but he says that. But Go Crickets is certainly a very small district up in Wisconsin, rural Wisconsin, but very well known across the country. Our hashtag for our school was hashtag Bet Pride. And you know, it's you can certainly build a community there if you're intentional, but it's also a lot of fun, right, to see people connect. And strategically, you can create that, you know, make that happen. But
do you know Joe was the first person I reached out to when I started my business in 2014?
Well, my condolences, and I apologize for that. I feel really bad. I mean, you must have been pretty desperate. I mean,
he's listening.
You had to reach out to Joe Sanfilippo. You must have been hurting pretty bad, I would say.
Oh my gosh, he was so you know, he was great.
He was so low key, wasn't he? I mean, pretty quiet.
Yeah, he has low energy, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But I learned a lot from that little district because it's only 70 miles from where I grew up and where now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I know your best selling book, you've written 6 books, is that right?
I don't know. I think I'm up to about 9 right now.
9?
Somewhere along there. Yeah, around there.
Okay, I missed a few. I'm sorry about that. Your best selling book is Culturize.
Yes.
And does that talk at all? I mean, I have not read it. I'm sorry. But
you don't need to apologize.
But
if you are having a difficult time sleeping, I would encourage you to crack it open at night. I'm telling you, that thing will put you right to sleep every time. So there are some other side benefits to it, too.
Good. But, you know, you talk about building a culture and you talk about a hashtag and how that can be so powerful to build a culture. Was that any part of that book or was that not really related?
Yeah, I think there's a component in there that talks about that and reminds it and maybe gives a specific way how to build this community, how to be really intentional. But, you know, the idea of Culturize really was formed on some other premises. Obviously, it's about school culture. But it had other premises, the importance of what it means to build a community. It had the premise of understanding that everyone in the organization is a leader, that you know, it can't be dependent on the building principal to lead an entire school, right? And so how do we develop the leadership capacity of a school or organization? We talk a lot about the average because every organization has average, but how are we identifying and what processes do we have in place to actually do something about that average? Because that average actually creates all sorts of morale issues for us. And really the last piece is the fundamental belief that we have to lead from some set of core principles, some sort of something within us that says, this is who we are. This is what we're about. Here's our sense of purpose. Here's our vision. Here's our mission. Here's our values. But we have to live those values. We can't just talk about them, right? Because then they just become kind of words about words. So that was kind of the overall premise. But feel grateful. But what connected educators do differently, our first book is more specific in terms of, but it's not just a book about social media. It's really a book about community and connecting with people. And there's all sorts of ways, and it defines and helps people understand that, you know, connectors, people who are connectors typically actually give more than they receive. That's what's really interesting, right? There's this belief that, you know, you can't just keep taking and taking and taking. You have to give a giver. And our experience is the most connected educators really are givers. They actually give and give before they actually take anything back. But they have these other different characteristics, right, of how they embrace their community and how they collaborate and how they communicate and the importance of relationships. But, you know, and when they learn and how they learn and what they learn. I mean, there's all these different variations in what they're willing to invest in. But they also know when to unplug, right? They know when to unplug. I mean, we know that, hey, I don't need to be on social media today or tomorrow. And I know some people spend a great deal of time. But again, I don't judge it. Maybe that's their livelihood. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe that's where they live. And that's okay. You know, I think people always have to self-assess and be very self-aware of the impact that it's having on their personal relationships. But the reality of it is, it's not social media that's bad. It's the people understanding how to use it and not investing so much that they're forgetting the other important aspects of their lives, that they also have to take care of themselves and take care of their families and where they want to put that time into. So that's how I see it.
Yeah, community and connectedness, and social media is a tool, but it's a tool. Oh, you have a lot of tools in your toolbox to create those things. And so it's just one of the tools, in my opinion, that you
absolutely.
Can
use. Yeah, absolutely.
So you've spent the summer working with educators. I'm assuming your work hasn't stopped, but it's mainly been virtually. So, you know, as we embark into this 2020-2021 school year, which looks a lot different, what's been one of your primary messages to the educational leaders out there right now as they look forward?
Yeah, I mean, there's several things, right? Again, in these times, again, you know, when every day it's shifting, right? Guidelines, there's, you know, sometimes there's a lot of communication, people not on the same page, but people just not sure what to do. I mean, you know, people are hesitating, especially when it comes to school leadership and district leadership. People are hesitating because they don't want to make the wrong decision. And quite frankly, they can't make the right decision, because the fact of the matter is that people's response to what our solution to this is all based on their personal experience. And it's not ours to judge, right? We just have to admit, hey, none of these are good solutions. None of these are ideal situations, but we have to make the best of it and decide, well, what is the best way that we can still continue to educate our children, keep them safe, but we have to keep our staff safe as well. So when all this newness is coming at us, right, there's a lot of concern of, you know, how are we going to continue to connect with our, you know, especially when it comes to culture, right? There's a lot of questions about relationships and the challenge that happens or comes from having to do it virtually or in a hybrid or a blended model or whatever. But the reality of it is, I tell people, go back to the basics. The fundamental right now is, I think we can get overwhelmed with all the newness and all these things we're trying to figure it out. But I think sometimes I think it's just keep it simple. And so what is the simpleness of it, right? And to me, that is our core values. And I'm a big believer in core values and leading and living those core values. So again, if I'm in a school district and for Culturize, it's about relationships. Well, guess what? Well, then let's focus on relationships. But then it's also, again, I don't want people to feel isolated. I don't want them to feel overwhelmed. I don't want them to feel exhausted. So my feeling is, well, how do you prevent some of these things from happening? Well, first of all, you bring a group of people together, right? If I just asked everybody to give me one idea, if I had a staff of 75 people and I said, hey, tell me one way that you've stayed connected and invested in relationships with your students, you know, at the end of the year, during the summer as we kick off, if all 75 teachers give me one example, now, again, some of those will overlap, but even if 60 of them are ideas, that's 60 ways that we can give to our staff and say that's the crowdsourcing of it and have 60 ideas. Then I don't have to feel like I have to figure this out by myself, that we all understand that, again, bring a group of people together. You cannot tell me we can't figure this out, but it's the processes that we have to understand, that we have to be very strategic and bring people together. So keep it simple, focus on relationships. How are we modeling, right? Are we modeling the behaviors that we want others to repeat? In other words, you know, teachers shouldn't be asking kids to do what they're not willing to do themselves. principals shouldn't be asking teachers to do what they're not willing to do themselves. How do we continue to expect excellence? How do we carry the banner? How do we maintain that positive voice, right? And more importantly, how do we create experiences for others, whether it's our students or our parents or our staff, that when they walk away from our interaction with them, that they actually carry the banner for us? I mean, that's the key when you think about school culture. People who look at a school and say, that's a great school, there's a lot of people carrying the banner for that school. And you know why? Because their experiences with that school or that staff or those students or that administration is positive and it's powerful. It's meaningful. And so it's about creating these meaningful experiences. And so, you know, we certainly understand we still have to focus on the academic component. No one is saying that, to disregard that. But at the end of the day, we have to stay focused back, in my opinion, to our core fundamental principles. And most importantly, we have to give teachers support in the training that they need. I will say this, and I don't mean to be critical about this, but I don't think it's a coincidence. Here's what I say, Andrew, and I'll say this as nice as I can. Schools that were struggling with their morale or their culture or their organization or their vision or whatever it was they were struggling with prior to the pandemic, you understand when this pandemic happened, it literally just blew it up. It just really was able to show you why the school was struggling, because it just multiplied it 100 times over. The schools that had these things in effect, positive cultures, had provided teachers with proper training, had the right leadership, had their teachers invested in technology and instructional strategies, yes, they're struggling too, but in a different way. But they're not as exhausted. They're not overwhelmed and they're not negative about it, because they were able to quickly come together because they already had a healthy culture before this happened. So I feel like this exploited those organizations that were already struggling. So the positive from that will come, you know what, we're not judging it, but we better recognize that, because the reality is there will be a different type of crisis at some point. And so we better be prepared for it. And that's a takeaway that we need to understand, is this is why you need to be prepared. But it's not just about, well, it'll never happen. It's not about that. These are, you know, virtual learning, blended learning, using technology. These are already good instructional practices and tools that we should already be utilizing in 2020. That's what I would say.
So a lot of people are nodding and they're saying, we need some Jimmy at our school. You work with schools all across the nation?
I sure do. Yeah.
And so what, I mean, what's the best way if somebody's listening right now and is just like, you know what, we'd be interested in more information. Obviously they can read your books, but where should they follow you or connect with you? What's the best way?
Well, the best way is always through the website, right? Because then you can just email me right there. You can connect with us, but it would be at jimmycostas.com if you want to, you know, reach out. But, you know, if you're connected with me on social media, on Twitter or Instagram, those are the same, Costas_Jimmy. But, you know, if you reach out directly through a private message or something, I'll respond back to you and get back to you. I do all my own social media stuff. So it's not like I have somebody doing that for me, right? So if it's Facebook, right, or YouTube, if they want some, you know, resources, that's Jay Costas and Associates. That's our company's name. You know, but we do provide workshops, trainings, keynotes. But my passion, honestly, is coaching. I love to coach educators, you know, not just principals, superintendents, teachers, whatever. But these are skill sets. And the reality of it is we all go into the profession. We do the very best we can. But to have all those skills going in is a pretty unique individual. They would be truly an exception. So the reality is, how are we helping people become better? How are we helping them develop their skill sets? I believe everybody needs a coach, and I believe that. I had a coach. It changed my life. I wish I would have had a coach when I first went into the profession, right? Because it would have saved me a lot of anguish, a lot of anxieties, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of what I call edge of the couch moments, right? Just ready to give up, because you do get to the point where you're not sure what to do. And when you feel so responsible, and I know our teachers and our secretaries and bus drivers, we are literally feel responsible for our children or our staff or our colleagues. And when you don't know what to do, it creates all sorts of stresses and anxieties in us. And it's not healthy for not only the individual, but it's not healthy for our profession. And so we have to support people. People want to be great, you know, and that's what I believe. And I know some people disagree with that with me, but I'm telling you, when people go into the profession, they don't go into the profession and want to be terrible teachers. Now, I know people lose their way, but That's why relationships and culture are so critical. We have to invest time in people. And people are still our most precious commodity at the end of the day. It is a people business. And so that's, you know, those are areas that they can reach out and connect. And then the last thing, if they really want to read up or get some free resources, then sign up for the newsletter on the website, because I blog and they can get that information and get those free resources on a regular basis.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, we have really detailed show notes, Jimmy, and we've got all of your social media channels linked and your website, and you can definitely get signed up. Obviously, Jimmy's got a lot of energy and he's going to continue to deliver that out. I really appreciate your time today because, again, I know how busy you are, but a lot of really inspirational things. Thanks for leaning into this calling of being able to help others, because you're able to impact even more students in the way that you're working with schools now. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And everybody's where they're at today because other people help them get there, right? Nobody does anything by themselves. And so, again, I mean, it's a passion. I mean, I don't have to do it, but I want to do it. And certainly it's still a job for me and it's an income and all that. People still need to raise their families and pay for their kids' college and all those things. But, you know, we're educators. We're never going to be rich. You know, we just want to help other people. And if you can make a living at it, how awesome is that, right? Do what you love to do, and it's never going to be a job, right? My father used to say, make hard work your passion, because then you can do whatever you want in life and you'll be happy. So I've always remembered that. So
absolutely. Great words to live by. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jimmy. And thanks everybody for listening in. We'll see you next time. Bye, Jimmy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, that's a wrap. Another episode of our podcast. I hope you learned a lot. And if you did, you should hit subscribe, right? Have you subscribed to this podcast yet? We come out with new content every single Monday. We're interviewing great guests. We're uncovering great tips that are going to help your school. Hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't left me a review yet, I'd love to hear from you there. So just hit a review. Now, in the show notes, you can actually sign up for my newsletter. You guys, socialschoolforedu.com, we've been serving schools since 2014. We just focus on social media. And if you want helpful videos and blog articles and links to other helpful content, you're going to want to be on that free newsletter. So check that out in the show notes and get signed up today. SocialSchoolForEDU.com is our website. You can check out more of what we offer there. My mission is to help schools celebrate what's going on in their districts with social media. We work with public schools, we work with private schools, we work with charter schools, and we share all of our experience through free content and through some paid services, which include a membership program, a webinar pass. We even do full management for schools. We just want to make social media and celebrating schools easier. So you can check out more at our website, socialschoolforedu.com. Until next time, guys, keep telling those stories.